Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser and your host today, and I'm so excited for our guests. That little song that we just played, I Am Woman by Helen Reddy, exemplifies my guest today, and Helen actually had an impact on my guest. My guest is actually an intuitive medium, a Reiki master, and a spiritual teacher. She's an author of a new book called Journey into Consciousness that we'll be talking about. And she is calling in from Oklahoma. Welcome, Shelley. Shelley Wilson is our guest today. Welcome, Shelley.
Hi, Brenda. Thank you so much for having me. And I have to say, put a huge smile on my face when I heard that song.
Well, I had a huge smile on my face when I was reading your book, and I came across how you met Helen Reddy, and that was the song that really played a part in my journey as well, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But, yeah, I think you can't help but smile when you listen to that song, and it definitely is an empowerment song, and it's about women waking up to their own personal power and taking charge of their lives, and that's what you did personally and what you help others do through your book and through your teaching.
Yes, that is what I strive to do, recognizing that each one of us are having our own human life experience, and sometimes that experience can be quite challenging.
And in a short amount of time, I'm really impressed. You've written so many books. You've written a book called 28 Days to a New You, Connect to the You Within, and then this most recent one, Journey into Consciousness. And you teach all over the country, and you have your own show here on Blog Talk as well, which airs Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Central. We'll have to tune into that. But let's go to the very beginning, how you got started. Your book talks a lot about your childhood and very personal stories. Was that, you know, difficult to share those stories?
Yes.
And how did your family react?
Well, it was difficult only because that's what I put off so long, because I wasn't sure how my family would receive it. You know, what would my parents think, my husband think, my children think? I just didn't want to say too much. And you know, what I felt that I shared were those experiences that really impacted me. And for some people, they may read them and think, well, that didn't seem that big or that significant. But I can tell you it did play a pivotal role in my journey. And when I finally wrote the book, got it all out there, and it sat for a year, I went back through it, and I just wanted to make sure in my own eyes that it was perfect, perfect in every way, that I felt good about it. And the night before that it came out in December, I started having these feelings of vulnerability, thinking, oh my goodness, people are actually going to read what I share. Because all along, you know, I do the radio show. I've been doing that about 2.5 years. I blog, and I am on Facebook, so I share things, but I am pretty personal, I mean pretty private. I'm not one to share too much about myself unless I feel it's appropriate. And what I felt that I shared needed to be shared, and I recognized that it was exactly how it's supposed to be in each and every moment. Now, when the book came out, I did give a copy to my dad, but I did not give a copy to my mom. My dad seemed more interested in what I do and who I am than my mom did, so I just didn't figure I needed to go there. And then on the last day of the year, she called to tell me she bought the book, and she was not a happy camper in the least. Let it be known what she felt, and that was the last conversation we've had. So I'm just letting her be. I'm not letting her words influence my choices or anything like that, but I do acknowledge that it affected her. But I, in the same sense, I'm not going to dim my light for anyone. And in the same sense, I reached out to my dad after that conversation and said, you know, lay it on me, Dad. I'm already wounded. You know, what you could say could not hurt me anymore. I can tell you that right now. And he said, no, actually, Shelley, I am so proud of you. And everything you wrote was truth. I remember things a little different in some instances, but that's your perception, and it's totally understandable. And so in that moment, he healed my hurts. And it's just amazing when I look at everything and how things unfold. And even the past few weeks, Brenda, you know, so many experiences, so many lessons, and I'm at the point now I can see them. I can, you know, recognize when there's spiritual broadcasting systems providing me with a lesson. But sometimes I need a little help from others to just help me to fully understand and comprehend what's happening. So I reach out to those people, and then I just allow myself to move through that energy and let it clear it out.
Wow. You know, and that is just such a powerful story and lesson for all of us, because, you know, many of us who do this type of work, who are spiritual seekers, have those stories, want to share them. I know I've grappled for many years with sharing some stories about a sister I grew up with who has made her transition in the last 5 years, and I always promised her I would tell her story and I would tell the truth. And, you know, it has stopped me sort of dead in my tracks about, you know, how people will react, how people in the family will feel. And I'm thinking I'm just going to go for it. I think you've given me the courage to.
Yeah, I'm getting chills all over. I want to say your sister is saying it's time. It's time. And, you know, I do want to acknowledge that. First of all, she recognizes, too, Brenda, that it's no hard feelings, that it hasn't happened sooner, that I feel that she's just saying, you know when it's good for you and it's time for you, because, in essence, you're the one that will get the fallback, okay? But in the same sense, this is something for you to stand in your power, to speak your truth, not only for yourself but your sister, and just having the courage to shine your light, because people, no matter what, are going to say and do what they choose to. Many people are waking up and becoming more mindful and aware, and they're putting themselves in other people's shoes, so they're more conscious of how they choose to express words and what they do, but a lot of people aren't there yet. So we just have to not take it personally, let them have their beliefs and their perception and their experience, and be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And you also, I love the format of the book. Each chapter, for those that haven't read it yet who are listening, starts out with a quote by a spiritual master and is under the subheadline of Lesson Learned. I love that. And many of the quotes are quotes I have around my house, around my room.
And I love the quotes. Yes.
Yeah.
So
I can't believe it.
Synchronicity.
I just got goosebumps.
I cannot believe
she picked. Yeah, a lot of synchronicity there. So was it hard to narrow down all the, you know,
not
the quotes
really.
That you chose?
Not really. It's really crazy, because when I write, whether it's a book or just a blog or whatever, I just start writing. I just get into that space of grace, let the words come through to me. And the beautiful thing about computers now, you know, utilizing Word, is you copy and paste, and you can move things around. And if it doesn't feel right here, then copy and move that baby somewhere else, you know, versus the old days where you have a typewriter where you sit down or you do it by hand, which was very time-consuming. But this, I would just write. And the layout of the book now is not how it started out to be, but I'm one of those people that I like to do things the way I do them, and I like to be different, and it may not be the norm per se, but I'm not normal, so I don't want to be like everyone else. So the first section of the book is my life up to my awakening, and as you indicated, I did start it with a lesson learned, and in turn provided a quote that was important, the lesson, and then I began with my story, and then at the end of it, I provided a revelation, what I learned from that experience, from that lesson, and then offered you a message for your journey and a tool for your journey. And then in the second section is my awakening to present time, and I provide excerpts from my journals, my experiences, and things like that. And then the third section provides tools to assist you on your journey. And once again, I've got quotes riddled throughout, but the thing is I look at this as my story, but in the same sense, it's your story too. It's everybody's story. And I always encourage people, whether it's reading a book or taking a class or even following a page on Facebook, to practice discernment. And if it feels right to you and it comes before you, you might want to pay attention. You might want to just recognize that there may be something for you to glean from it, but you don't have to take it all. Just take what feels right and then discard the rest.
Mm-hmm. And that's an important point you just made, too, about practicing discernment on social media. You know, I choose to, you know, not connect with people that are not putting out positive energy or positive mm-hmm. messages. I want to be surrounded only by people that show their light, reflect light, share mm-hmm. inspirational quotes or things. If people are constantly complaining, that's not someone I want in my circle. And
right.
Or if they're posting negative, hateful, nasty messages about a group of people, or they're telling inappropriate jokes or whatever it is. But we have that power. I think sometimes people think, oh, I'm supposed to connect with everyone. I have all this stuff, you know, we have to be very careful of the information we let into our sphere, whether it's the news on television or through social media. But I have been very careful with that, too, since my own spiritual awakening. And I want to talk about that specific date for you, because you identify a very specific date in 2008 as your spiritual wake-up moment. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, what happened is I had scheduled a reading. I always wanted to have a reading to connect with my loved ones and my angels and, you know, just like everybody else does. And so I found Stephanie Barton. She's from Kansas City. And I had to wait 2 months for this appointment. It was a phone reading. And in that moment, I had questioned, you know, who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Those are the questions that you ask to wake up. And I'm just telling everybody that right now. When you start asking those questions, who am I, why am I here, what am I supposed to be doing, it's like sending this beacon to spirit saying, okay, it's time, show me, tell me, and guide me. And so in this reading, Brenda, she told me literally right off the bat, and this is not verbatim, this is paraphrased, but the verbatim is actually in the book, but she said, Shelley, I just have to tell you, your purpose is here to shine your light on others so that others can see the truth of who they really are. You are meant to heal hearts one by one by one. You see people differently than they see themselves, and that's how you make a difference. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I did not ask that question, but I can tell you that's what I had been thinking. And when she said that, I just felt this aha. Wow, all I have to do is be me. All I have to do is feel comfortable with who I am, to love myself, to shine my light, and the more that I do that, and the more that I see that light in others, the more I can help others feel comfortable as well.
Mm, I love that.
It was huge.
So you also talk a lot about going to the various conferences and expos that have impacted your life, and one in particular, the Ozark Mountain Publishing Transformation Conference in all places, Arkansas.
And,
I mean, a lot of people across the country probably don't realize that there is, you know, spiritual communities in every state, but in Arkansas, there was this conference. Tell us about what happened there.
Yeah, and it was literally an hour and a half from me. That's the whole amazing thing from where I live. And I went there, and the first year was 2009, and I was like that kid in a metaphysical candy store. I mean, I was going to talks, I was taking notes, I was having readings, I was getting my aura taken, I mean, all kinds of things done, and I was just like in heaven. It was the first time I had ever been around people that had my beliefs, because I was raised Baptist, and my dad's a civil engineer, and just didn't have a place to go to. I knew things, but I wasn't around people that I could actually learn from and grow from, and it just amazed me. And that was the year that I met my dear friend Sherry Cortland. She's an author, and she's from Orlando, Florida, and just we've been good friends, constant friends since that meeting. And then that's the year I met Helen Reddy too, and it was just amazing, because I had already, you know, love how spirit works, the universe works and lines things up, but I had already had a trip planned the very next month to go to Australia. A friend that lived in Tokyo had a work thing, and she needed to go, and she's like, you know, why don't you join me? I've got to work for the first part, but Matt, well, the first thing that stopped me in my tracks was the cost of the airline ticket. I was like, oh my goodness. And then I immediately realized, Shelley, when are you going to have another opportunity like this? I mean, it's just money. It's just money. Yeah, and some people say that, but I, you know, just put it on my credit card, worried about it later, knew that I just had to do it because it was going to probably be one of those lifetime trips. And so I met Helen, and I said, you know, Helen, I'm going to be in Sydney next month. Is there anything I should be concerned with? And she's like, no, dear, the most safest city you can imagine. And I said, great, you know, beautiful. Yeah. And then she did her presentation, and then at the end of it, I was guided to go up there and say, you know what, Helen, can I have a session with you? Because she's a hypnotherapist, and she offers sessions, and I just something and said, ask. You know, worst case scenario, she's going to say no. Best, she'll say yes. And so she gave me her number, and long story short, I met with Helen when I was there, had an amazing session, and provided me with a memorable experience as well as a learning experience too.
Wow, and I've been to Sydney. It's a beautiful Sydney, city, and so open with the water. Nature is all
and
around.
It's safe. It's so safe.
And it is safe. I traveled all around by myself, just taking the bus here and there, and it's an incredible place, and I really encourage everyone to go there if they get the chance. And I love that about your story, is that you seize upon the opportunities. Opportunities present themselves, and you just jump on board, and you don't hesitate, and you really live life full out. And that's the reason I have this show is called Alive to Thrive, because it's not just playing small. It's playing big, and it's living each day that like it's your last. And but how did you come to that place? Because not everybody lives their life that way. They often will second-guess themselves. They'll hesitate. They'll get in fear around money. How did you get to the place where you just decided to seize opportunities as they come along?
Well, it took a lot of growing, you know, just honestly a lot of growing. And for so long, I simply existed. I got married when I was 18. I had my first child at 21. Next baby came at 25. And you know, I just felt that I was a wife and a mother, and that was it. I would take care of the family, take care of the house, go to work, and there was nothing of me. And finally, in 1999, I found my voice and realized there's got to be more to life than what I'm living. And so I began doing things for myself and recognizing I need to speak up. If I'm feeling a certain way or I need help with something, I need to ask, and it's okay for me to do so. You know, Brenda, so much of society is conditioned that if you do things for yourself or love yourself, then you're selfish. And, you know, I've been told that so many times. I was just told that this week when I had boundaries with someone. They said, you're cold and selfish. And I said, okay, I honor your perception, but I don't see that. You know, just because I finally said no after a multitude of communication, I felt that, you know, I have to do what is right for me. And I don't feel that at all. So in other words, I'm self-loving myself for doing that. But, you know, I, just like everyone else, my husband's self-employed, and, you know, he, business has its ebbs and flows. I have ebbs and flows, everything else. But, you know, I trust that everything's as it should be. And I trust that as long as I'm staying in that place of grace, that heart space, rather than go into fear and worry and lack mode, even when times get tight, I have to trust and I have to believe, because our energy, what we're immersed in, what we focus on, we just create more of. So my life
and
isn't perfect.
I want to back up about the boundaries and unbalanced relationships, because I think a lot of women have a hard time letting go of toxic people and people that are needy, and people that just basically don't show them respect in whatever form. Maybe they say they're going to do something and they don't do it. And so let's talk about that a little bit, because you do address that in your book, and I think that is a big, big issue.
It is. And I will tell
you, how did you learn that?
Pet peeve is when people say they're going to do something and they don't. I mean, and I know it's a huge lesson, but I'm just like, just don't say it. Just don't say it. But I'm also learning that people change, ideas change, experiments change, and you know, sometimes people forget, and it's okay. I have to be okay with that. But, yeah, the people that are in our life in that moment, they're meant to be there. And I just literally wrote a blog yesterday about the evolution of relationships. Because as we grow and change, it's only natural that our relationships are going to grow and change too. Now, we tend to want to hang on to people because we've known them for a long time, or it seems like the right thing, or we don't want to feel bad for letting him go or anything like that. And this is where we empower ourselves. In the same sense, Brenda, we have to be okay if people are distancing themselves from us, you know, when the shoe's on the other foot. And they're just not feeling us anymore, and they, you know, may not be returning our calls or even returning emails. Rather than thinking we've done something wrong or taking it personally, we have to just let it be and be okay that perhaps we're no longer desired in their life as well. So it's just seeing that from that higher perspective. And this is something I've had to learn too. And, you know, once again, just trusting, learn from those relationships that have come to an end, honor those people, see the blessings within them, but don't feel bad. I mean, sometimes we do want to grieve, because especially if we've known people for a long, long time, and even my friend that I had known for 26 years that I had traveled to Japan to see and traveled to Australia to see, that experience in Australia was actually the turning point in our relationship, because I was not the same person she remembered, and she didn't like the new me. And I had to be okay with that, and as much as I attempted to keep it going, I finally had to resolve that it was okay. It was okay to let it go.
That's important. I like that. I'm going to check out that blog, and I want to make sure people know where to find your blogs. So is that on your website, ShellyRWilson.com?
Yes.
Okay, and for the listeners, she also has a Facebook page, Intuitive Medium Shelley, and blogtalkradio.com, Shelley Wilson. And so you have had your show for a couple of years. Tell us about your program, and we're going to make sure we tell people about that.
The show has evolved so much since I've been doing it. And in the beginning, I was doing up to like 4 shows a week. I periodically have guests. I periodically take callers, offer insight, do readings, things like that. I am at the point now where I just trust that whatever happens is supposed to be. You know, I had the opportunity to interview James Van Praagh a couple weeks ago, so that was really cool. I didn't get to talk to him in advance, but I immediately said, you know, James, I studied with you a couple years ago, and he's like, oh, okay. And then I told him when, and he remembered the class. Don't know that he necessarily remembered me. But it was a great experience, because near the end, he just kept saying, this is interesting, this is interesting. And I said, what is interesting? He said, everything that I'm thinking you're saying. And I said, yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it? You know, and just left it at that, because, you know, there wasn't anything need to say more. But, you know, I love to converse. I love to teach. I love to share. And I recognize, just as you do, Brenda, that this Blog Talk platform is a great platform for providing people with those tools for their journey. And they can listen at their convenience, whether they listen live or listen later to the archived, it's available to them.
And just to give out James's website, it's Van, V-A-N, P as in Paul, R-A-A-G-H, vanprague.com. And I love that you list all these great websites in the back of your book, your personal recommendations of various spiritual teachers you've worked with, you've studied with, John Holland, Sonia Shawkat. A couple of them have been here in St. Louis in the past. Can you talk about, you know, providing these resources? I just think this is such a practical handbook. It's not just one woman's story of spiritual awakening, which is on the cover, but the subheading with tools to assist you. These are real specific tools. If people just go to these websites, this is a great place to start their own spiritual wake-up.
Yes, and I make it very clear that this is what resonated with me. And once again, to practice discernment, because not everybody is going to enjoy the same experience or like the same modalities or even enjoy reading the same books. It's just where we're at in that moment. But I felt that it was, you know, important to share, this is what helped me, this is what assisted me on my journey, this is what I personally resonate with. And if it feels right to you, then I invite you to check it out as well. Now, I'll tell you, on Amazon, you know how Amazon has the reviews and such. Well, I've gotten a couple of two less than desirable reviews, but it's okay. I didn't take offense or anything like that, but one person in particular did not like all of those references, and they said I was just advertising. And and I thought, that's okay, you know, it wasn't right for you. You know, just like when we go to the ice cream shop, you know, we typically will not get the same flavor of ice cream. That's why they have many flavors. That's the same thing with books. You know, if it feels right to you, then absolutely enjoy it, glean from it what feels right, and then, you know, just allow yourself to put those tools in your spiritual tool belt and pull them out when you're guided to.
Well, I think it's incredible that you have several pages of book titles under various categories, because it really saves the reader a lot of time from going and digging around, that really they can get, it's like a mini master's degree by just, you know, starting with these various books and tools. And so several people influenced you on your journey, and I do like the metaphor of the journey, because I've used that a lot too in my writing. I have a chapter in an anthology called The 7 Points of Impact, and the chapter is called Help is on the Way. And I often talk about our journey and detours and struggles and overcoming them, just like you do. So I had a chuckle about that as well. But tell us about the people that influenced you early on, and why and how you decided to go full-time as a spiritual teacher, because some people sort of dabble in it, but you've made it your life's purpose.
Yes, and I will tell you, to begin with, some people have knocked that title, some former colleagues especially, and I was like, you know what, we're all students, we're all teachers, and if I feel comfortable enough to choose that label for myself, then that's my thing. It shouldn't be anybody else's. But when I give readings, I don't just read for someone. I'm definitely not a psychic, fortune teller, gypsy kind of person. That's why I prefer the energy of the word intuitive versus psychic, even though I have psychic abilities. Mm-hmm. I just empower people and provide them with tools to assist them. And to me, that's that teaching aspect. And those people that really influenced me, I remember watching Out on a Limb, the Shirley MacLaine miniseries, and that was just life-changing. And remember watching Saved by the Light, Danyon Brinkley's story on TV, and then I had the opportunity to connect with Danyon at Ozark Mountain Conference. I think it was 2010 when I met him, and he's since been on my show several times. So Danyon's influence, absolutely, and then my teachers that I've studied mediumship with, Lisa Williams, James Rim Prague, Sonia Shawkat, John Holland, and even a month ago, I had the opportunity to study with Tony Stockwell, and he's a medium from the UK love Tony's energy, absolutely, so much so that I paid the deposit to return to take his next class again in the fall.
And what's his website? He's not in your book, right?
No, he is. I believe it's just TonyStockwell.com, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, we're going to take a short break here for a station identification and a short message, and we'll be back. We're talking with Shelley R. Wilson, author of Journey into Consciousness. I think that's a fabulous title. Author of a couple other books, a Reiki master, an intuitive medium, and spiritual teacher. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Alive to Thrive.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Are you tired of the abuse? Trying to recover after rape or other sexual violence? Are you worried about a friend or a family member? Safe Connections is here for you in the greater St. Louis metropolitan area. We work to reduce the impact and incidence of domestic violence and sexual assault. Access referrals, resources, and most of all, compassionate support through our 24-hour crisis helpline. No cost. Call us anytime at 314-531-2003. That's 314-531-2003.
You're listening to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser on GGM Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Alive to Thrive. As a follow-up to that PSA we just ran for Safe Connections, I do want to mention that they are having an annual event on Saturday, April 12th, and it's their Together Brunch. And it's a time for women and girls to come together, hear some speakers, shop in a silent auction, but support the work that they're doing in the community. As domestic violence and sexual assault affects so many women and families, not only in the St. Louis region, but across the country. And that's a transition point that I want to make with our guest today, Shelley Wilson, who's the author of Journey into Consciousness, because she describes in her book an early childhood experience that was pretty dramatic. Shelley, talk about a little bit. Your mother witnessed a domestic violence situation where a friend of hers was murdered by her estranged spouse, and then later that man turned the gun on himself and your mother found him still alive yet dying. What impact did this story have on your life?
Well, it ultimately, you know, greatly affected my mom because she had worked with a woman as well, and in addition to being neighbors, the woman had just actually moved a couple months prior to that away from that area. But that morning happened to be the very last day of school. And, you know, it was one that I'll never forget because I was in the shower getting ready. But that was so much so because his brother had actually moved into that house afterwards, and my mom just could not look at him. She didn't want any part of it. She was angry, confused, as she should be. But that ultimately led to a move up out of that area to a new area. I'm still in Oklahoma, but it went from a very suburb, prosperous area of Tulsa to, pardon my language, a podunk area in the sticks. And that's the best way for me to describe it, because I went from a class of 200 to a class of 20, and I was so far advanced in classes that they let me graduate a year early, and I was also taking college classes just to satisfy what I was currently taking in that other location. So it altered her life, and in turn it altered all of our lives as well.
And so have you worked with traumatized women in your Reiki practice and women that have emotional and physical scars from sexual abuse?
Yes, not only in the Reiki, but even with in the mediumship aspect. And when I do sessions on clients, I don't necessarily separate per se into categories, whether it's a psychic or Reiki or what, not the mediumship. But, you know, they may initially say, this is what I desire. But ultimately, I provide whatever they may need to help them with that experience.
So things sometimes come up, I would assume, in a Reiki session where, you know, people feel safe and they feel vulnerable and they're able to release maybe some pent-up emotion.
Yes.
Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. And I feel not only with during the Reiki sessions, but even in group presentations. You know, and sometimes that can feel, the person can feel a little weak or vulnerable during that time, but I always remind people that it's safe. It's okay to let those emotions come up, to really allow yourself to trust that this is part of that process. Now, Brenda, I talk to people regardless whether it's a challenge like they're facing, like you just mentioned, or a diagnosis that they received or that a loved one's received, but really allowing people to see it from that higher soul perspective. And sometimes it's really hard to do, especially if it's so traumatic or perhaps even a terminal diagnosis. But the more that I feel that we can take responsibility on a soul level, see it from that higher soul perspective, the more it's going to allow us to move through that energy so that it can be cleared out, whether it does result in a healing itself or just provides comfort at that time to help them move through that energy for whatever may happen next.
I love the part about seeing, you know, the soul perspective. And one of my favorite books also is the Randy Pausch book, The Last Lecture.
Yes.
I mean, that just blew me away because he lived life full out with a diagnosis, a terminal diagnosis, as we know. He was on TV, months before he passed, doing push-ups and things. But that, it's just on how you choose to see things. It's all a matter of perspective. Talk about his story, because there are people that may not be familiar with
his
story.
Yes, when I saw Randy on Oprah, and that was a reenactment of what he actually delivered for his speech at Carnegie Mellon, and this was pretty much the last lecture. That was the title of the series, but it was so much more because it was going to be actually, he was diagnosed with it. And it was, the concept was, if you were dying, but he was actually dying with pancreatic cancer. But he chose to really empower people rather than feeling like he was a victim. He was actually a victor. And through his experience and the way that he handled himself and what he emulated to both his family and his students, it was immeasurable because people were able to see that you don't have to succumb to this. Yes, your life journey may end in that physical form, but that doesn't mean your life is over at the moment you receive that diagnosis. And so many people, when they do receive a diagnosis as such, they start really allowing themselves to not live any longer. And I feel that that's why so many people pass very quickly. And even though they may seem just fine, they get a diagnosis, and that's like an expiration date.
Mm-hmm. So true. And even chronic illness. I mean, I know a woman who's probably in her early 50s who is wheelchair-bound from a couple of diagnoses that, you know, aren't life-threatening. They're not terminal, but she has accepted that as a death sentence, and mm-hmm. It's so sad to see people in that condition. Now, so his book is in your reading list.
Yes,
there,
the
and people can see that last lecture. I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube.
Yes, it is.
And it's a powerful, powerful story. So you talk about shifting perceptions and that it's just what we experience through our senses and how we view things that impact us, but we can shift these perceptions and, you know, talk about something that's happened recently for you that you've had a shift perceptions on.
Well, even this week, going back to what I was saying earlier about relationships and such, you know, we can begin to see people drifting away from us. Now, do we go into fear mode and worry mode and panic and think we've done something, or do we just say, well, it's as it should be, the ebbs and the flows of the relationships? And, you know, having those boundaries to me is so very important. And also touching again about the Facebook challenge, Brenda, I am so mindful of the energy that I put out there, because our thoughts, words, and actions are energy, and that's sending a signal out to the universe, a broadcasting signal. This is what I want more of. So to me, I've gotten to that place. I used to cringe when I would see what people would post, and sometimes I'm not going mm-hmm. to not tell the truth, but sometimes I do still cringe. But I'm more in that place of, if that's what they choose, because they are consciously making that choice, and that's what they desire to put out there, then who am I to say different? I can acknowledge it, or I can simply just release it and not allow that energy into my space. And that's what I feel that everyone should do, rather than getting uncomfortable or trying to control things that they can't, because in essence, the only things we do have control of are how we perceive things, our thoughts, our words, our actions, our emotions, and our reactions. And so we can't change the past, but we can absolutely change our perception of those experiences. And when we start seeing them from a higher soul level, seeing those lessons within the challenges, even the blessings within the challenges, we will automatically shift those experiences.
Mm. And the importance of telling people you love them. So we talked about moving away from those that relationships that are unbalanced, but the importance of, you know, really letting people know, because you never know when their last day on earth may be. I mean, that's definitely was my story. You know, I lost my mother in a car crash in 1996, and we were in the car together. But you never know one day to the next what is going
what
to happen in that day.
Yeah.
A miracle can happen, and also something you could perceive as a loss. But ultimately, I believe what I experienced was a miracle, A, because I lived, and B, because I got to be with her. And
I got chills all over. Absolutely. So right away, Brenda, you saw the blessings within that.
Mm-hmm.
So even though she was no longer in physical form, you know, the blessing that you are still and the blessing that you were
mm-hmm.
with her, you know, that
mm-hmm.
that is a huge leap of in evolution.
Well,
because
you know, I've read that, and I believe that we sort of choose our experience as we come into this planet, this plane of existence, and I believe we choose who we die with. And, you know, I feel very honored that my mother chose to die in my presence. She lived out of state, and we didn't get to see each other very often. And of her six children, I was the one with her. So, you know, that's how I choose to see that whole experience. Not everyone, you know, remembers to tell the people around them they love them every day. Talk about that. How do you teach that principle?
Well, I think, you know, for some people, they have a hard time saying I love you. And so their expression of love may be showing it in action, doing something for someone, or it may say take care, things like that. And I feel like the more that we, you know, do it in the manner that feels right to us, because sometimes it can feel a little uncomfortable, you know, especially thinking back to new relationships, and you're just waiting on that person to say I love you because you don't want to say it first. You know, you don't want to be turned away or felt awkward or anything like that. But the just conveying it in the manner that feels right, and maybe even just saying I really like you a lot, or I loke you, you know, and that's kind of a cross between like and love. And, you know, just being happy and just – loving that energy, I think, is so very important. But I do feel that saying what we mean to say, speaking our truth, is so very important. And in the same sense, you know, we can't make others love us, and we can't even make other people like us. And when people start getting to that degree, you know, we love them, we love their spirit, but sometimes we just have to remember how important it is to have those boundaries to love ourselves too. So it's a multi-layer message when we're looking at that love energy. But I do believe that the more that we can stay in that vibration of love and seeing everyone and everything from that higher perspective, from the soul perspective, being in that loving energy, seeing those blessings within the challenges, that is all love. And whether we express it or show it or just feel it and emanate it, because I do believe that we are all loving beings and we are all of source energy. And the more that we just bask in that energy, recognizing in the same sense that we're human, so we're going to have those human emotions as well, but we don't have to dwell there. We can feel that anger or fear or frustration or worry or whatever that lower vibration energy may be, that we can bounce back up too and get back to that heart space.
Mm. And speaking of loved ones and those that we love, you talk about connecting with loved ones after they've crossed over and seeing orbs of light or taking pictures of
mm-hmm.
orbs. How do you prepare for those encounters? And tell us about that whole area of your
Yeah,
study.
Well, I will
practice.
Tell you, when I first realized that I was a medium, it freaked me out. It completely freaked me out because in my mind I was thinking, how is this possible? You know, how can I be the one doing it? Other people can, but how can I do it? But in the same sense, I always had that knowingness, and I'm very sensitive, clairsentient, an empath, and I know things, and I kept begging for that audio-visual aspect to know, and then when I finally gave up and stopped begging for it, then Spirit said, oh, okay, now that you're not asking for it and you're thankful for what you have, we're going to start giving you that too. And so to me, that communication with our loved ones is very subtle, and I will tell you some of the information that comes through. For some people, it may seem pretty insignificant as I'm hearing it, but to that person that's receiving that message, it means so much. And our loved ones are literally on the other side. They're just vibrating at a higher frequency than we are. And I feel their presence, feel that energy come in. For me, it's very cool energy, usually coming in at my back. And I get really cold when I'm doing readings. And I can just feel that energy. I hear the words come into my head and those feelings, and I many times I'll move my body and move my hands or make gestures or things like that. But what they show me is memories, or they show me things that people are doing now, and that's just to know that they're around us and that they see what's happening, that that energy cannot be destroyed. It's just a different form than what it was before in that physical sense.
Mm. And so taking the pictures, talk about
yes,
that,
I
taking
love
the pictures
orbs.
Of the
mm-hmm.
orbs.
Yeah, and some people, you know, just completely are skeptical or naysayers, and they believe they're dust particles or moisture, and, you know, I get that, and sometimes they are. But to me, Spirit is going to use whatever it can to communicate with us. And if they need to use the moisture or the dust particles to do so, then great. You know, and if you see pictures or you take pictures yourself, just practice discernment. Pay attention to the conditions and things like that. But also look within, because many times if you see a face or a symbol or an animal or something like that, to me that's a pretty intelligent piece of dust. So I just have to believe that our loved ones, the energy that they're in, that they have that intelligence to come through in that manner.
Mm, that's fascinating. And so there is a conference coming up. Well, there's two big things. We want to make sure we do talk about this weekend, the Spirit Seeker Holistic
yes.
Living Expo, Sunday, April 6th at Webster Grove Park and Recreation Center, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., only $7 for a full day of speakers. Shelley, you'll be one of the speakers. Tell us what you'll be talking about.
I will be offering messages
system.
From Spirit. So I'm going to be offering messages from your angels and guides and loved ones on the other side. And it's literally a 45-minute talk, so I'm going to read as many as I can during that time, but I will be offering private sessions as well. And, you know, I do offer phone readings and Skype, so if people want to just pick up my information and schedule a time later, then that would be wonderful.
Wow, yeah, for a lot of the vendors such as myself, I'll be there with my jewelry, butterfly, and moon.
It's going to be a jam-packed
day. I'm so sorry, I'll be missing. What time is your workshop?
It's 10:45 to 11:25.
10:45 to 11:45, and we do want to make sure people know where to get their tickets. If you get them online and prepay, it'll be, if you're one of the first 100 people, you get a pass to the Missouri Botanical Gardens or the Nature Reserve. It's SpiritSeeker2014Expo.eventbrite.com. Get your tickets there today. Cindy Meyer was on Channel 5, Show Me St. Louis, and with my good friend Julie Tristan talking about the expo. So expect a big crowd on Sunday. We have over 70 vendors and workshops all day long, as I mentioned, and I'm so thrilled that you'll be coming into town. And then next weekend, the following weekend, are you going to Arkansas for the UFO conference?
I'll be in Omaha. I had to decide where I was going to be. Last year I was in Arkansas and did the UFO conference as a vendor, but this time I'm going to be in Omaha, Nebraska at the Health, Wellness, and Fitness Expo. It's a two-day event, and I'm going to be one of the keynote speakers on both Saturday and Sunday. So that information can be found on my website at ShellyRWilson.com if you click the Events tab. And I'm going to be at Atlanta at Through the Veil Conference. That's a wonderful conference. That's throughtheveil.org in June. And also I'm teaching my workshop, Creating the Life You Desire, at Lilydale, New York, August the 1st. So I'm really excited because in the mediumship world, Lilydale is huge. It's a spiritual community.
Yes.
They're open for a season, and this will be my first visit, and my workshop was accepted. So I'm really looking forward. And some synchronicity, James Van Prague will be there at the same time. His workshop is the next morning after mine, so I bought tickets to go to his as well.
Wow. Have you met Suzanne Giesman yet? A Messages
I have not.
Of Hope? Oh, my goodness. Well, she was here in St. Louis, and I've had her on my show. She's fantastic, and she talks about, in her book, about going to Lilydale, and she actually wrote a couple of books about some other mediums, and then she became one herself. So
awesome.
I'll have to connect you to her. She's another fantastic, like-minded person. And we talked a little bit about synchronicity, but tell us a little bit, you know, as we wrap up here in the last few minutes, the importance of, you know, just speaking your truth and finding your voice, that it will attract other fellow travelers that are
absolutely
on the same journey.
Always. And synchronicity, just for those that may not understand, it was a term coined by Carl Jung, and that's J-U-N-G. He's a psychologist. And he deemed a synchronicity as a meaningful coincidence. So the more that you can tune in and tap in and heighten your awareness and pay attention to those people coming into your life, those conscious connections, and pay attention to those experiences, you don't have to analyze them. Just simply acknowledge that you recognize that they're significant. And then just allow yourself to keep yourself very grounded and centered and in this present moment. Cease that mind chatter. Just allow yourself to not be thinking about things constantly, because what you're emitting with your thoughts, words, and actions, you're creating. So just being mindful of that. Be mindful of those word choices that you use, and just know that this is your life to live. And the more that you live to thrive and allow yourself to really live your life fully without regret rather than just simply existing, the more you're going to be joyful and happy and at peace. And by being who you are and speaking your truth and having the courage to say what you mean to say and to communicate those needs and desires not only to yourself and to others, the more your life is going to be splendid.
Wow, that just wraps up the show in such a perfect way, but I don't want it to end. So how do you balance family and travel? You're on the road a lot.
I am, and I was really feeling the traveling this week. Yesterday I was like, I have no energy, so I baked a cake, And it was perfect because I love sweets and I baked a cake, and that's what I have to do sometimes. And, you know, so I do. I mean, I work from home. My husband has his own business, and I do the bookkeeping for that. My degree is actually business with a minor in psychology, and I have an accounting degree, so I do all of that stuff. And then I do readings and radio shows and write. And I have a daughter that's at home. She graduates from high school in a month, and a son who graduates from college in a month. And I just see that everything's in perfect order. And, you know, having balance at times can be challenging, but I make a point to let everyone know that they matter to me. And in the same sense, I encourage them to remember that what I'm doing is important too. So even though at times they may feel a little neglected, that I'm doing the best that I can.
And so what are the future projects, future books? Are you working on something now?
Well, right now I'm just being, really. I have so much mm-hmm. going on. I'm actually going to start a webinar series, and that's going to kick off, I think, April the 23rd. But I'm really excited to just kind of see what happens, you know, because sometimes I feel like I work so hard, do so much, and I'm me. I don't have an mm-hmm. assistant, so when people call and schedule an appointment, they're going to get me. And, mm-hmm. you know, I communicate via email, it's everything like that, and I just make a point to make people know that they're important, that they're valued and acknowledged and appreciated and loved, and I welcome that as well. And so whether you interact with me through a platform such as the Blog Talk Radio Show or want a private session or purchase my books or follow me on Facebook, I appreciate you.
Well, and you have a beautiful website, I must say, and it's
and
very well laid out.
I did it myself, Brenda.
Oh, my goodness. It's
when I
easy
said I
to
do
follow,
everything, I really mean it.
Yeah, and you know, we all are entrepreneurial, and you know, you just I think just for the listeners that if you want to learn how to do something, you know, there are people out there that will teach it. You can
yes.
find on YouTube and just Googling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the things I love about Blog Talk is that it has challenged me so much. I needed to learn how to convert an MP4 to an MP3 or convert mm-hmm. a YouTube to audio and just different things. And it's very personally empowering to stretch yourself and to try new things.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, too, is if people did things for us all the time, I mean, what part of that are we really learning and growing? I mean, the worst-case scenario is if we try something, it won't work, you know, and so that's when we try again. But rather than seeing it as a failure, just say, okay, well, it didn't work this time, so I'm going to do it again and see what happens. So what's your
before
attitude?
We close out,
yeah.
Before we close out, I did want to mention OM Times, O-M Times. Tell us just real quick what OM Times is.
Well, OM Times is a green magazine, so it's online, and they put out a publication once a week, and I've had the honor of writing for them for the last year and a half, and you can go to omtimes.com, and on my website there's actually a tab with links to all of the articles that I wrote, and that includes the James Van Praagh cover that was a week ago. So they have lots of spiritually conscious information, and it's just a great resource as well.
Wow, and your events are there, your products are there, as we've talked about, the links to Blog Talk Radio is there, and everything is pretty well contained. So it's Shelley, Shelley, rwilson.com. Please follow her on Facebook and follow her blogs. It will change your life, guaranteed. We look forward to having you in St. Louis this weekend at the Spirit Seeker Holistic Living Expo, April 6th. Not too late to register online. So hope to see everyone there. Thanks again, Shelley. I look forward
Thank
to meeting you.
You
in person this
I look forward to
weekend.
Meeting you, too.
Thanks. God bless. We're going to close out with I Am Woman.
Awesome.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore.
but never broke.